This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 Podcast. We are the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club, and as always, we're brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasts. An express podcast today, myself and Ben, unfortunately, have to have personal lives outside the red. So we're recording on Saturday afternoon, just before the kickoff of the Women's Premier Division tie in the RSC. So basically, Ben, we're just going to cover last night's game at home to Cork, and then we'll be back business as usual the following week to preview both games then. So, look, Ben, let's skip the formalities. I'm not in the mood for formalities. 2 points dropped again last night. I'm going to ask you what I asked the players and what Dazzler asked the manager. Sum that up for us.
I suppose just flat. Lacked a real intensity, real bite, especially in the first 45. I think the manager said it sometimes last season, and I said it to you after the game, if you leave 45 minutes of football out on the pitch, you're going to really, really struggle to win a game. And I thought, bar one or two, we left 45 out there from the first half. So it was always going to be an uphill battle. But I think the break is coming at a good time, definitely.
Nearly feels like a reset, doesn't it, going into this break? Yeah. It nearly feels like, right, we can come back. The way the league is, it's so tight, everyone taking points off each other. You can nearly come back and just treat it like the first game of the season all over again. But like last night could have got off to a way, way worse start, and it's actually a more impressive save. Yeah, it somehow looked more impressive on the replay, and at the time, I just kept saying, what a save. It's an unbelievable save. Proper point blank range stuff, and Connor does what Connor so often does and finds a way.
He reacts very, very quickly, so you're obviously delighted. I was standing beside you here at that end, and I genuinely had my head in my hands. I was like, oh no. But look, I don't know why you'd ever doubt Connor, because he pulled it out of the bag again. It's just, it's one of those where if you're caught that early again, you just don't know how that game turns out then.
Yeah, I often wonder with those kind of saves, and I mean, it would have made sense to ask Connor why we had him on the podcast, but sure, it hadn't really happened much at that stage. That type of save, like, can you actually, I know a lot of keepers work on reflexes and stuff like that, but is that something you can actually train properly for, or is it just one of those ones where, you know, you fuck a hand up in the air and hope you get something on it? Or is he like judging the way the ball's going to be headed? I don't know. But what I do know was it was a ridiculous save, and I think it saved a lot of panic, because I do think people would have hit the panic button if that had gone in so early on.
Yeah.
It was a funny, funny half of football. Straight away, I watched the first half, well, about 40 minutes of the first half on my own. And I, at the time, didn't think it was that bad. And then by the time I had gotten back up towards the newsstand for the second half, a lot of people thought it was worse than the first half of the draw of the game. Where do you stand on that one?
I think it's a very different first half, albeit with some similarities. I just don't think the intensity was there in either one. And I think the reason people maybe would look at the Cork one and say, oh, that's a much worse first half, is because they are down a few bodies there. Look, I wouldn't have eyed them up and said the most spectacular team in the world. So I think it's just maybe a little bit of that seeping in. I don't know. What do you think?
It's a hard one. I don't think the oppositions are the problem at the moment. I think we're the problem. Not the problem. That makes it sound like we're leading, going to get relegated or something. But I do think it's an us issue. It's not a, like, teams are coming and making it impossible for us. I'm wary of making excuses. I don't really want to do that because, to be fair to the manager, and I spoke to Ali Q after the game for his post-match interview, and I love this approach to it. There's no sense of, like, you know, we've been a bit unlucky on another day. Do you know, we could have won it 2 or 3 or 4. It's very much that wasn't good.
No deflection there. I think you can almost appreciate how open and honest the manager and the players are to say, here, we'll hold the hands up. That performance, especially first half, wasn't us. We need to do better. We will do better. We'll talk and we'll work on it. I think that's a big thing, and it's a big thing within the group, and you see it and you've heard it in the newspapers when they speak to media. They're a close-knit group and they do talk a lot of this out. Like,
yeah, it was interesting because the manager and Ali both said that in their interviews. They said, look, maybe we just need to sit down and have a yap, or maybe it's they need a few episodes of Only Fools and Horses or whatever it might be. But starting 11 wise from yesterday's game, Gano obviously came back into the team. Ali Q got his first start of the season. JJ was back in the starting 11. Did any of the inclusions or people being left out surprise you?
Don't think I'm particularly surprised. I thought Ali, to be fair to him, on the merit of what he's done when he's come off the bench, I thought he's looked really positive. And he said that himself in his interview. He just wants to try and make a positive impact on games. And I thought he's done that coming off the bench. So I thought the start was probably warranted. I thought he offered an awful lot. When he does get on the ball, I think he's quite direct as well. So it just gives us that little bit of edge that, I don't know, he plays with a bit of a freedom. Like, when you watch him get the ball, he just carries it and dribbles. So I think he adds an awful lot, and he's done that off the bench. So it was good to see him get in the starting lineup. I think he did deserve it, and it's shown in, like, in his performance.
I felt he started the game because the manager had obviously said after the draw of the game, we needed a bit of, you know, cutting edge, just a bit of something different, a bit of, like, let's get outside the phases of play that we have and let's get outside the patterns that we do and just do something different. I think Ali gives you that. He's, as you said there, he's off the cuff. He's kind of, erratic's the wrong word. That probably has a negative kind of connotation to it, but he's, you just are waiting for him to do something a bit mad. Like, he created a bit of space in the first half. He played a great ball. It was the second half. It was early in the second half. I think he slipped the ball down the right for Evan Caffrey, where he had kind of dropped in really narrow to pick up the ball. I would like to see Ali start more, to be honest. I was a bit disappointed when he came off. Now, again, that can be a fitness thing because obviously he hasn't started any other game, but I felt we lost a bit of that likelihood of something magic happening when Ali went off.
Yeah, I think he gives kind of an air of unpredictability about him where it's like he could pick up the ball and drive, he could pick up the ball and swing it across the pitch and send someone on their run. Like, he just has that little bit of quality, I think, that can bring some of the best play out of us. And I think some of the better things we did last night, he was involved in.
I felt like that. I felt like he was kind of the heartbeat of anything good that happened for us last night.
And Kerr as well, I think, was, again, really, really good.
Kerr's a mad one because he's so well-rounded. He can do a bit of everything. I think everyone can see that. But he's so good if a team has dropped off and, like, we're moving the ball around in front of a team that's dropped off. He's so good in those areas, kind of around the edge of the box. Like, he rarely gives the ball away there. And he's great for kind of, he'll slip a little ball through that nobody really sees. It's probably, if you were giving out a Shells man in a match last night, I thought it would have been either Ali or Kerr. He's taking the likes of, obviously, Connor and Paddy Barrett out of it. Kerr at this stage, I'd say, is probably the next one down as a must start.
Yeah, I think it's kind of getting that way. I think just when you look at the quality he gives, I think one thing about him is he's very fluid in receiving the ball and then opening himself up and playing. I don't know if you notice that he's just kind of, he picks it and he moves and he's kind of looking for something straight away.
Yeah, he keeps you ticking over. And I think he's very good at doing that a bit higher up the pitch. JJ is obviously brilliant at it kind of deeper. But I think in that kind of final third, I think Kerr could end up being very, very important for us in terms of trying to break teams down. Somebody as well, I obviously went down to Section E for the first half. He was coming in for an awful lot of stick from the Shells crowd at the time, was Ellis Chapman. I kind of torn on this one because I have a bit of sympathy for him. That don't know if people realise how big a deal it is or how much of a problem it can be to get injured in pre-season. Because it just...
You're just weeks behind everyone else.
Yeah, and I think we both said it. He looks that way a little bit. He just looks that little bit, maybe just a yard short. I think somebody else that was standing with us in the second half likened it a little bit to Harry Wood when he came back last season. Just missing that, little edge.
Yeah.
But like, there's still glimpses. Like, he's still, for me anyway, I know others were more critical of him than that, but there's still a little glimpse of stuff that he does and you go, right, there it is. It's just maybe not quite coming out enough. The other thing would be, I'd hope he doesn't fall victim to this thing of he can play in a few positions. The kind of Shane Farrell syndrome where, you know, you can play as a wing back, you can play as a number 10, you can play as a deep midfielder, you can kind of do anything. Do you think there's a danger of Ellis falling into that category?
No, I think with a player like Ellis, like obviously you see his quality last season, you're just hoping that can be replicated. I think if you are to get the best out of him, you probably should be looking to play him in those favoured kind of areas. I know those kind of utility players that can slot in everywhere and do a job, they're very, very important. But I think just the quality he gives in those attacking thirds, I think is very important for us. I think it could be.
There's no doubt. Look, he probably hasn't started the way most people would have hoped he would. But I would say, just remember that he was injured in pre-season. And that same type of thing happened to John Martin in his first year, where he literally got injured in his very first training session. So you're going to be playing catch-up. You're going to be... Like, Boydie's already mentioned that he felt he kind of formed this relationship with Meepo early on. You can't really make those relationships when you're injured. So give it a bit of time. That's what I would say.
I will point out, though, one thing I thought was a bit mad was there seemed to be more head loss picking up a point than there was dropping through.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Like, that's a... I turned around to somebody at full time, and in a very strange way, I was happy in the end that we just didn't lose, because they obviously had that chance. They flashed the ball across the box right at the end. Like, I think if you lose that one, it's obviously not a disaster. Jesus, what are we 5 or 6 games in? But there'd be a real, Shells have lost it. You know, Shells are way off it. The other thing as well, and I hate kind of talking league-wide instead of just being Shell-centred, but teams are better. Like, that's a better Cork team than I thought they were going to be totally honest. Yeah.
Like, people, and a lot has been on our performance, Cork were also really good. They were positive. They countered really well. They pressed well. Like, they didn't just sit back for 90 minutes. They played some very good football. They got in behind a few times, and on another day, like, they could have had a few.
They could have, yeah. I thought they looked very... And again, I think you always pay more attention to the goal that's closer to you. So in that first half, I was down at Section 8, obviously where we were attacking, and they looked very vulnerable when they tried to play out. And there was a fella sitting in front of me that literally just kept saying, they're going to play out, we'll get it back, we'll get it back. There was a touch of that. I think they were trying to play and trying to play, and we seemed to be getting a bit of joy out of that. And then they changed it up and went a little bit more direct. And as you said, they kind of slid a few balls down the side. And it did cause problems. Cam's pace, of course, got himself a few holes. But
yeah, like on another day, like Cam, two or three times was there and he cleaning up. Same with Paddy Barrett. Like, if you don't have those lads there, could be, you never know what could happen. Like, I think it was Alex Nolan definitely should have done a lot better with his chance when he went through. I think that was just when Cam caught up to him.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of those, I think, you think you're away, and then next thing you've Cam breathing down your neck.
Like, I think, I don't know, you weren't there. Were you there at that stage? I think I turned to someone like, Jesus Christ, thank God for Cam.
No, I don't think I was there for that, but we've said that a few times over the last couple of seasons. Look, that was all mostly kind of first half related. Where do you stand on a double change at half time? Was it warranted? Was it a bit harsh?
I think you're looking to change it up, and to be fair, the two boys that do come off, it probably could have been any combination of two, barring maybe Ali or Kerr. Like, the manager said it himself, he alluded to it, that he could have made five changes.
I think when Skins obviously came out at half time and called for, he just said two, so they obviously knew what two it was meant to be. But I was then racking my brain on, right, who's going to come off? And as you said, it could have been anybody. The only one I would have been really shocked to see come off at half time, as you say, it would have been Ali or Kerr. But other than that, it really could have been anyone.
I think it was just a case of where I think the performance wasn't there in the first half, a little bit flat, kind of inject a little bit of energy, a little bit of oomph into something. And I think it was probably the right call to make. I think Evan in particular, very, very good.
Yeah, I've asked you there, like, you know, were the subs warranted? Were they not? Ultimately, Evan Caffrey comes off the bench and scores again, so 100% warranted. Before we get to that one, the goal we concede, there's no other way of putting it other than it's another shit goal, isn't it?
Yeah, that's literally the long and short of it. It's just, it's another one of those where it's just a sigh. It's just, oh, why?
Yeah, and I, in real time, and I actually said this, I don't know whether it was to you or to Dazzler after the game, that, like, the goal was kind of unlucky. It was just one of those ones. But then when I watched it back, like, Conor Cairns was visibly furious after the goal went in. And Conor wouldn't generally be one for, you know, that big angry goalkeeper kind of reactions, but he was furious. And I'm presuming it's the fact that we let the shot come in the first place. Like, I thought at the time, you'd nearly be happy enough to let somebody shoot from that kind of distance. Because 99 times out of 100, you're backing Conor Cairns to save it. But still can't really take a chance because some shit like that can happen where, I don't know whether, did Paddy head it or did it come off his chest or whatever happened, and then I think it was Cam was maybe
anyway,
asleep.
Somehow.
And then we're sleeping, then like a player like Rory Keaton, you just have to be constantly switched on. Like, that's the stuff he feeds off.
Yeah.
Loose rebounds in the box, just totally went to sleep. It's just, how do you stop it?
I think that's just, again, as the manager hinted, as Ali said in his interview, it's just one of those where it's just talk it out, see what's going on. Because it's silly stuff. It's not really, like, that's not a quality of our game. It's not something you've seen during the manager's time here. Like, players not being switched on. Like, I think in a weird way, it was almost coming where we were second to nearly every second ball in the first half. Like, it was one of those where if you don't get to that, something bad can happen, and we concede.
I think Cork 2024 Shelburne us in the first half, just by like that, just being relentless and getting the second balls first, and it just looked very lively, which, look, a Cork team come to Talca is always going to be like that. No, it's always going to be that type of wanting to put it up to us. I did see a good bit, and I heard an awful lot of, you know, there's a bedding in period there for new players. I don't really buy that one, really, because, like, in that starting 11, you had Ellis, Kerr McEnroy, and Chuck Norris. That's it, in terms of new signings. And, like, they're kind of spread through the team. It's not like you've, like, a keeper and a centre-back that don't know each other, or two centre-halves that don't know each other. Like, there's enough kind of space in between all those players for that not to be an excuse. But do you sit in any way in that kind of camp?
No, I just think that's a lot of waffle, to be honest.
It's looking for excuses, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but and that's not something we do. Like, it's, you see in the post-match interviews, the manager and the players, more often than not, are brutally honest. And, like, it's one of those where they hold their hands up, they take responsibility for what happens. Another interesting thing I thought, as good as Cork were, it's another case of we're giving them that life with our play.
What's the term? Ali the said oxygen, it in oxygen. Yeah, that's the one.
Again, used this week for Cork, used last week for Drogheda. We are literally breathing life into these teams playing the way we are. It's completely uncharacteristic. It's not like us. Like, we were, like, built on hard work, first and foremost.
Do you think it's an effort or a work rate thing, though?
I don't really know what it is, and I think that's probably one of the bigger issues. I don't know if anyone knows what it is.
Yeah, maybe it's naive of me, but just with the way the staff is, and there's, like, kind of pillars in that team now, the likes of your Connor Cairns, your Paddy Barrett, Cam, JJ have been here. I don't think any lack of full effort would be accepted or tolerated.
Yeah.
Obviously, you had Coyler on the bench that came into the game as well. I just don't think people would get away with it. Now, I did see a lot of people not happy with Meepo for the goal as well. I think that's just a centre-forward can do that in the final third. You know, maybe not get to a ball quick enough, or let it be a centre-half nip in front of them. And it's fine in the final third because you've probably 8 or 9 players the other side that can kind of bail you out. But obviously with that one, when you lose it in your own half, you're on the back foot straight away. It's just, it's a bit of a mystery. And it's even weirder, and it probably less of a concern, because we did play well in the first couple of games. So it's not like we haven't got started yet type thing. It's just, Just a weird, weird fall off. And again, same as Drogheda, having said all that, we could have won it in the second half with some of the chances.
Yeah, like, what did they make? 3 goal line clearances? 2 goal line clearances?
Yeah, 2 off the line, yeah.
I think, was it Ali's effort hit the side netting at one stage?
Yeah, Ali had the free kick, and then Ali had like a half volley in the second half. Boydie had one cleared off the line. John Martin had one cleared off the line, which he should have scored, to be fair. So, yeah, we're probably trying to put a gloss on this a little bit, but that's an encouraging sign, isn't it, that you're still forging those chances?
I think it is massively encouraging to still obviously be creating chances when you're not at your best, because then you're like, okay, what more is to come? But it's one of those that, like, we leave a half football on the pitch and then they score and then you start going for it. Did you feel that in any way, that, like, until they score, we weren't really up to it? Because
I'd agree with that. Did Ali or the manager say that as well
Ali said we shouldn't have to wait for a team to score a goal to play football.
Yeah, he said that was actually mentioned in the dressing room after the game, that it can't take something to go wrong to kick you into gear. And I think that's a knock-on then of what I said earlier, that the teams are better. Like a Cork team of 2023 doesn't punish you at all. A Dundalk team of last year doesn't punish you. A UCD team of whatever year that was, 2023, doesn't punish you. But I do think the teams will this year. But on the other side of that, I'm actually looking forward to the games after the break, because I think they're what we need. Sligo away, always difficult. And then, of course, back-to-back Dublin derbies.
Yeah, I think it's one of those, if you're a player, it gives you the extra week to kind of get the body right, rest, recover, kind of bounce back in. I think that'll be good. I think the break is very important, and it is a good time for a break.
Yeah, the break has come, and kind of we've not wanted it to come in the last 2 years. This year, though, I think it couldn't have happened at a better time. Because it's so early in the season, I don't think any team will get a week off or, you know, anything like it. But would it be one of those, if you were in Damien Duff's shoes, would you say, right, do you know what, fuck off for the weekend, you know, see us Tuesday and we'll go from there? Or would you be more of a, we're in, and we're going to be in for even more time than we were meant to be because we haven't been at it?
Dude, I'm afraid that's massively above my pay grade, I think.
Ah, come on. We've been spoofing now for 2 years, Ben. We can spoof a bit more.
I genuinely don't know.
I'd be in the camp of let them stew.
Yeah.
Leave them off. Go on off with the family or whatever you want to do for a day or two, and then we'll kind of reconvene after that. I think it's better for everyone. Everyone will get a chance to forget it, but I mean, I'm sure the manager and the staff probably had the match watched 2 or 3 times last night.
And that's before they even left Talca.
Yeah. So are you give them a day or two, would you say?
I don't know. That as a player, that might almost be worse for them. Like, imagine in their shoes, you played your game, you haven't been at it, and then, okay, go on, see you later. You're just left to stew with it.
Yeah, I wouldn't like the idea now of sitting there playing the game over and over and over in my head. That would drive me round the bend, I would imagine.
But I think it is important to just get that kind of little bit of rest, little bit of right, park it, reset button, and bounce in with, hopefully, for a better week.
It will be a better week. I've no doubt about that. I'm actually very confident of us going to Sligo and winning now. Maybe more so than I would have been if we won last night. But as I said at the start, it is a bit of an express pod, shorter than what we normally do, but that's just circumstance. I did put the question box up last night on your recommendation, Ben. There's not as much outrage as I thought. I thought people with a few beers on them maybe after the game would be a little bit more cutthroat. Not as much. As a wise man said to me, people will always be louder when we lose than when we win because people love to moan. But Sean Harris said, I think the ref forgot his red cards, left him at home.
I wouldn't agree. I actually shocked
Here we go. Look at this for once. Say it, Ben. Go on.
I'm not one for referee bashing, but I thought he actually had a good game.
So did I.
I thought he managed the game really well. Like, there was a few where people got down easily and he's just like, ah, here, come on, get up. Like, I thought, as far as the refereeing performances go, it's probably as good as you can get. A very inoffensive performance for a referee.
Yeah, which is, like, that's exactly all you want, surely. Yeah. And one of the most rare things in football, but I love to say it, a goalkeeper booked for time wasting before the 90th minute. Yeah. 64 minutes on the clock, and that keeper got a yellow for time wasting. And from what I could see, he was basically told, you're still wasting time now, so you make it back into the box there and take your goal kick.
I also very much appreciate that he called the captain over and said, tell that player to shut up or he's getting sent off.
It was real Sunday League Park stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like, Captain, come here, tell him to shut up.
Yeah, yeah, I've told him to shut up. Oh, well, refs aren't actually allowed to tell people to. Refs aren't allowed to bite back, Ben. That's not allowed. Complete robots. Yes, not allowed to have an opinion on anybody.
You can be highly critical of them, but as soon as they're critical of you and your team.
Yes, that's too much. It's gone too far.
Throw the book at them.
I also enjoyed the yellow card for Charlie Lyons for done the usual, was obviously knew he was being taken off and done the, I'm going to sit down here, waste a few more minutes or whatever, which I totally support Shell's players doing as well in the same scenario. People who lose their mind over that stuff, we would do the exact same thing. So,
it's just game management, isn't it?
Yeah, I enjoyed him getting booked though for, he was on his feet and he was told, right, off you go. And then he sat down pretending he needed treatment. Next thing the yellow card came out. I have a lot of time for that. So, where was I? Question box. Yeah, Sean, I can't really agree with you there, to be honest. But it's only a matter of time until there's another clangor in Talca, I'm sure. Trisha Darcy said it was a very poor first half and we really needed to find that goal first. I would like to see us score first in Sligo now and just see if that changes everyone's kind of mentality, both in the stands, on the pitch, probably in the dugout as well. Zach said, better in the last 30 than we have been though. Friend of the pod, Adam Leonard, frustrating, controlled another game, sloppy goals given away, but we had more than enough opportunities to win the game. When the team settles, we'll be fine, I think. Or hope, he said. Rob Lenehan, his usual coherent comment, just Shelburne, Shelburne, Shelburne. You're right there. Kane Murray, go on, Ben.
I also had a box up duty. I thought I'd help you out here. And very much the same as what we said. Michelle says, Ali and Kerr are great. And it's great to have Gano back with leadership and defence. I think that is probably a big one for us. Having Gano back.
Yeah, I didn't think he had his best game going forward of that, to be fair. But again, been out of the team for... But he gives you something like else, doesn't he?
Coming back, yeah. I think he looked a little bit like a player coming back from a knock. But I think, again, the week will do him good to get kind of back up to speed. I think leadership especially is a big quality he has, and I think we do play better with Gano in the team when he's on form.
Yeah, he didn't quite click into action in the final third, but I would be a little bit old school in that. I'd rather him be looking after his business in his own final third. His defensive third. His final third would obviously be the Shelburne final third.
Who do he wants defenders to defend? That's what he's trying
to
say.
Yes, I want defenders to defend. I want goalkeepers to save it. I actually listened to a funny thing about who's that mad bollocks that managed Forest and Brian Clough. And basically everyone had the most simple job. Goalkeeper, keep it out of net. Centre halves, head it and kick it. Fullbacks, play forward if you can. Midfielders, play forward when you can. Chip in with a goal. Wingers, put your heels on the touchline, get the ball into the box. Strikers, get hold of it and score. Simple game, complicated by idiots, Ben. Where was I there? Kane Murray said, poor first 45, second 45 was better. On another day, we scored 3 or 4. Unlucky. I strongly disagree with the unlucky bit of that. If it happens once, it's unlucky. If it happens back-to-back weeks, it's something probably needs to change. P. Bryan said, same every week. With a sad emoji. Yeah, probably disagree with that. A. O'Leary, flat. 1 point from 6 against Drogs and Cork is poor. Hopefully the break re-energises us. Are we guilty, Ben, of trying to make excuses here? Like, when you put it like that, 1 point from 6 at home to Drogheda and Cork, it's a fairly short return, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose you can look at it that way, definitely, and say, yeah, it's not great, but if you look, who else is Drogheda taking points off this year?
Pretty much everyone they've played until last night.
Yeah. So, you come against an informed Drogheda team, we're unlucky. Yeah, grand. No one has really done exceptionally well in the first 6 games of the season. I think panicking of 1 point from 6 from 2 games against teams you may perceive as lesser teams is a bit silly at this point. Like, Cork have more points than Derry, Sligo, Bowes. Drogheda also have more points than all of those teams and every other team in the league. So,
there's no real rhyme or reason to it at the moment.
I feel like that argument makes more sense if we're 20 games into the season.
True.
And yeah, the two of them are rooted to the bottom of the table. Like, a Cork team that, to be fair to them, are playing decent football, and they well deserve their goal, and I think a draw was probably fair. And a very informed Drogheda team.
I was talking in the pub last night to good Reds man. He's not coming to games all that long in the grand scheme of things. I think he said 2017 maybe was his first game. So, I mean, the fact he even ever came back after one game was probably a minor miracle stuff. But he made the point that there's a bit of a divide in the mentality with supporters, where if you're some of those newer kind of fans, which you can't, like, I know people get this attitude of, they're only a blow in, they're here a wet day, and they're having opinions and blah, blah, blah. Everyone gets to have an opinion, whether we like it or not, or disagree with it or not. But I do think there's something to be said for that. The more weathered Shells fan, we'll call it, I think won't panic as much after the last 2 games. Whereas I think if you're only coming to games a couple of years, you're more likely to hit the panic button because all you know is being up around the top of the table. So it's just an interesting time, really, because there's so much going on. There's so a lot of change around the place.
By the way, we're in fourth, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
Perspective.
If we're in ninth on 4 points, I panic. Or yeah, bottom of the table on 4 points. Like, Derry, that's a panic situation. I think.
Or it's a break your bollocks laughing situation if you're Shells.
Well, if you're Derry, I don't know if they'll be laughing. But I think it's just, again, it's perspective. I think it's, people are very, very caught up on the last two games because the performance hasn't been there. But the start to the season was good. The performances, like, we're creating chances. We are effectively doing well when the team aren't performing to their best. So I think there is, look, as bad as it can be, as positive, I don't know if we're just too positive, but I think we're grand. Like, there is no need for the panic.
Yeah, and I think you can say the last two games haven't been good, but you can say that without panicking.
Yeah.
Look, it's perfectly fine to say, we haven't been great last two games, but we'll be fine. Doesn't all have to be, you know, let's hit the red button and let's all panic and melt down and heads are rolling and all the rest of it. We'll be fine. Everybody relax. Adele Brown said, it is what it is. I respect the honesty from both Duff and Ali in their post-match interviews. I always appreciate honesty in those interviews, and it can be difficult at the time because you know the panic, Ben, especially when we lose. That dread comes down of, who are we going to interview? And you're kind of picking, you're trying to pick positives out of performances that you can roll with. But I love that there's never an excuse. We don't get those, like, stock answers. We don't get them from the players. We certainly don't get them from the manager. There's a real sense of, look, hasn't been good enough, and we're going to fix it. What more can you say, really?
Sorry. I have the game on here. Penalty saved by Waterford.
Oh dear.
But yes, I do agree with what you're saying there, and I definitely listen to everything.
You're not even listening. You fucking comes on here. You're lucky. Well, I would have the game on the background, but my shite internet won't allow me to be streaming a match and trying to stream this at the same time, so I would have the game on in the background only for that. Callum Banks said, we don't look sharp in the final third. Yeah, probably. I also think we were spoiled by Meepo and Boydie in the President's Cup, where they were electric. They haven't quite gotten to that again. But, yeah, I think we've been... We haven't looked sharp enough all over. I think that's fair to say.
Yes, I would agree.
Yes, I would agree. Ben, Richie Rankins. I totally forgot. I won't lie to you. But one has
you come... forgot a segment that we do,
every week.
Single week. Yeah. How do you forget? Amateur hour. My God.
Yeah. Sack me then. Do me a favour. Can't sack a volunteer, as a wise man once said.
If you go, I go.
Mutiny. Immediately, the first Richie Baker that came into my head, and he did get this a couple of weeks ago, but it's all I have at the moment.
Yeah, I know.
It's Richie again. For anyone that was unaware, there was an issue with the water last night. If you're on the main stand side, I don't think it affected you, but if you're in the riverside, the running water basically stopped working just before the game kicked off. And Richie did his best Fireman Sam impression, where he's running around with bits of hose over his shoulder. He sent you off to get hose. I was somehow trusted in connecting a hose. But most importantly, it all worked out in the end. Richie got it sorted. He does an awful lot of pretty grim work, you'd have to say, in the background that nobody sees during the week. It's only if you happen to pop into Talca for something that you'll see it.
The place probably fall apart without him, and that is not even an exaggeration.
Yeah, and when he got it sorted, I said to him, Richie, the net is also after coming loose down the fire end. And he just, it was about -3 degrees and he was somehow sweating. He was running around that much. And he just looked at me and went, that's not my responsibility. nets and pitch has nothing to do with me.
I genuinely think we should get a little tracker the same as the players have and just stick it in Richie on a match night just to see how much he runs, because I'd say he's burning some amount of calories running around that ground.
I tell you, if he has a Fitbit or anything like that on, I'd say his heart was about to explode with the stress he was under. We're probably in agreement on that, are we, Ben?
As calm as ever. Is there another one? Actually, yeah, I'll give another one to, I think it was Owen Doyle on off the ball.
Right.
He was talking about, I think it was with Johnny Ward, I can't remember who else, but basically the league and improving and more people going out. And he had I think it was a really nice comment. I was like, you know what, that actually pretty much sums it up, where he's like, it's just a wonderful social outlet for, I think, young men, women, whoever wants to go out to games. It's just wonderful for them to go out and spend their Friday nights with the same people. And I would probably agree with that comment wholeheartedly. I think it's an absolutely massive social outlet. My core friend group is coming from Shells, so I'd say you're very much the same, Doody.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think I wouldn't be in agreement with a lot of things he'd say, but I like that point. I think it was well said and it pretty much sums up the League of Ireland experience.
Yeah, I would actually say, in fairness to Owen Doyle, he's probably the least offensive pundit covering the League of Ireland at the minute. Now, that will change. Everyone, it seems, when somebody comes in fresh, it's like, oh yeah, he's very good. And then after a few months, you just get sick of hearing the same voices all the time. But no, he's inoffensive.
Very good comment to make. I'm pretty sure in the same breath, it was the same interview where Johnny Ward was talking about how bad the news is and how depressing the world is and Trump. And it's great to have the League of Ireland, though. And I was like, that's a mad connection.
I'm surprised it didn't come back to climate change as well. Strange, actually, last night I was very disappointed in a way when Evan equalised that it just wasn't the right time to dance.
Yeah, it was very much business. Get the ball, let's go. But to be fair, if he keeps continuing the way he does, he'll be getting sick of doing that dance.
Well, yeah, true. It loses novelty, wouldn't it? My Richie Winter, it's just actually popped into my head here. That Cork goalkeeper, not for anything that happened on the pitch or anything like that, but he went over to, he basically got in a photo with a load of what I would presume were, I think he's Dutch, isn't he, that keeper? I should know these things. He's Dutch. They're probably just groundhoppers or something along those lines. But right at the front of the riverside, and he was there getting in a photo with them, and I was going, oh, that could end very badly for you. This could take a turn for the worse very easily. It didn't, thank God, but he's all I could think of on short notice. Anyone else you think's a bastard this week, Ben?
Yeah, funny enough, I do have one. And I wrote it down last night. It's Alex Nolan.
And right.
Do you know what it's for?
No, go on.
It's when the ball boys threw, I think it was two footballs onto the pitch, there was one bouncing towards him, and he just boots it up into the air and over the stadium.
Oh, actually, yeah. I could actually feel the three kitmen, of course, the Watson Mafia, were beside us at the time, and I could actually feel this like gust of warm air from obviously where all their blood pressure and their anger levels were going up. Nonsense. Fucking stupid.
Like, all he had to do was kick it back to one of the ball boys, but no, he gets it and he boots it up and it gets stuck up on the roof.
Is it acceptable, Ben? Go on.
It's very ironic when they had their kit man complaining about football and this and that. Get your house in order if you're going to moan about it.
Those in glass houses shall not throw stones, Ben. I hope we took one of their footballs actually as collateral for that.
Either we took one of their footballs, or next time they hear, I want to see Alex Nolan on a really tall ladder to go get that.
Is it acceptable, Ben? I already know it's not, but I'm just going to put it out there. To give the Richie Winter to a child?
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. I'm going to say yes, it is acceptable.
No, actually, you know what? I'm not going to give the Richie Winter to a child. That's not fair. I do think there needs to be a ball boy briefing before games. Because when they were trying to run the clock down, which again, no problem. We'd do the same if we were in that scenario. But if like three ball boys all throwing the ball on at the same time, they're on their phones, they're bleeding TikTok and stuff, pitch side, they're running on to get autographs. I've no issue kids getting autographs. Jeez, it's great. It's like I would have been doing it myself when I was a kid, but do it after the game when the players have come out, not fucking still on the pitch. But yeah, can we get a ball boy briefing done maybe? Now, who would do it? I don't know.
Go for it. You're going to regret saying that because you're going to have a promotion for the next home game.
See, I couldn't because then we'd have a lot of ball boys who are complete bastards. Like,
is that not what they're designed to do?
You know the classic stuff of like rolling it through the thrower's legs, all that. I love all that stuff. Getting mugged off by a child on television.
Like your man that got battered by, was it Eden Hazard?
Yeah. And ended up a multi-millionaire after career change, so, maybe. You never know.
Yeah. Look, you could be setting them on the right path, duty. I think you should be in charge of the briefing. Tell them exactly what to do. I think if you had an experienced ball boy out there with them, just to add a little bit, maybe a Reggie. Reggie in his prime was probably one of the best I've ever seen, considering there was probably about 150 people in the ground and it wasn't that hard to give the ball back.
But it was nearly a ball for everyone in the playing crowd.
Yeah, Reggie did it well. I don't know if he's growing out of it, but I'm sure he can come out of retirement, maybe a testimonial.
Well, look, when Reggie gets mentioned, that's usually time to wrap up. So, wrap up the pod. Moving swiftly on.
Poor Reggie will get to things he got off scot-free, no mention, get straight to the end. He's like, bollocks.
Right, Ben, we've run out of time. I appreciate you giving up part of your Saturday to do this, to keep the listeners happy, which is what we aim to do. So thank you very much. We will be back next week with the full and actually, something else I need to mention before we go. We will start to preview the games again. Me and Ben have a habit of getting off topic and a few tangents here and there, and then all of a sudden you're out of time, and it's like we forget. Well, it's like I forget that we're due to play a match on the Friday and on the Saturday. So, yes, match previews will be back. Don't worry about it. Where me and Ben can pretend to pick a starting 11 and get it wrong every single time. So thank you, Ben, as always, and we'll speak to everyone next week.
Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.